Mr. Chairman, Commission, my name's Craig Bruski. I'm from here in South Dakota, and I actually own land in Elk Unit 15. This is our petition to oppose the filing of the petition of Scott Phillips, which was brought to you guys the 1st of March. And our proposal wanted to change the landowner eligibility laws. We understand this and acknowledge to keep the current statute. I had sent this out to email, but we've added some to it. Basically, everybody's been saying what I've told you guys, and I just brought the proof of the guys that haven't came here. I'm thinking there's 75 landowners, and the other guys are our sportsmen, which were tough to get them to agree with what we say, but they know we need the habitat, and sometimes the small acreages is what we need. So thank you.
That's great. Mark DeRees.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Mr. Secretary. Mark DeFries from Belvedere, and I farm and ranch down there, but I'm also here today representing the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. Our Executive Secretary, Sylvia, sent, I believe, correspondence to the staff and Commission members, and she's under lockdown at Ellsworth right now. So not really, but she's at a meeting out there. She can email me the comments that she made, so I'm just going to give a quick me too to that. But we realize that this is a petition versus a staff proposal. Our association would ask you to resist this motion. We believe that the current language addresses things adequately at this time. We also realize that there are issues, as have been brought up by multiple speakers ahead of me. You know, to have a conversation about landowners and elk hunting in the hills, and we would just ask to be a part of that. Casey Miller was on the working group. He snowed in today, so I'm kind of taking his place. But we would just ask you to resist this motion and let you know that we would be willing to be involved in further discussions on these matters. So thank you very much.
Andy Skull.
Good afternoon, members of the Commission. Andrew Skull, 2665 Cavern Road, Rapid City, South Dakota. Thank you all for your public service and your commitment to conservation, wildlife, and habitat. I'd like to speak today against the petition changes to the landowner elk preference system. The current preference system has been highly accepted by the majority of landowners within Black Hills and has created good balance between landowner tolerance of elk and the desire to increase the herd size to 7,000 head. This balance ultimately increases hunter opportunity through increased landowner tolerance of the elk, and the proposed changes would favor the smallest number of landowners, ultimately decreasing the number of landowners tolerant of the population objectives of the elk, and would have an adverse impact on hunter opportunity. It is important to note that landowners were considered to be key components in 21 of the 54 objectives and strategies of the elk management plan. How could this possibly create adverse impacts on hunter opportunity? Forage. Forest Service has designated 106 million pounds of forage available to elk and deer. They also estimate 190 million pounds are within private lands within the Black Hills. Less support from landowners is going to equal more grazing and hanging activities on private land, less food, less animals, less animal tags, less hunter opportunity. Conservation and habitat. Objective one of the management plan, maintain, manage, and protect existing elk habitat throughout the Black Hills. Landowners were considered a major stakeholder in all seven strategies of this objective of the elk management plan. Less involvement and support from landowners will ultimately lead to less habitat protection. Less habitat will support less population, decreased opportunity. Easements. Conservation easements are also a strategy of objective number one of the management plan. Conservation easements are perpetual, meaning forever. If we as sportsmen want to have the most opportunity forever, not just today, we need to support landowners in entering private land into conservation easements, protection from subdivision, greater human interaction. Increasing the landowner preference to 1,000 acres will decrease that incentive to enter into easements. Number four, abatement. Look, Game Fish and Parks does a lot to help abatement. Compensation is, I think that the landowner preference is part of that compensation plan. I think you will see greater cost and resources being expelled in hazing and direct abatement activities because more landowners will require more abatement necessary to help. My opinion is exactly what it is. Elk management in South Dakota must include careful consideration of the social and political impacts. Wildlife managers must make careful decisions that recognize these considerations. I encourage the commission to reject the proposed changes to the landowner elk preference system. An acceptance of this proposal will alienate a large portion of landowners that support wildlife and habitat, creating a divide between South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks, landowners, and sportsmen, ultimately reducing overall hunter opportunity. I thank you for your time and service.
Jim Skull.
Well, good afternoon, Commissioners. Kelly Hepler, Secretary. Thanks for hearing me out. I sent you all a petition. I'm not going to regurgitate that. I think I was to the point. I'm opposed to the petition. I don't think it's in the best interest of management. Just a little bit about me. I own 320 acres west of Hill City. We have a lot of elk coos. I'm one of them guys who put conservation easements on it because I bought it to stop development. And then I bought another piece because the landowner wanted to develop. So it was really important to me. Because I grew up here, I remember the day when my tag said deer or elk, and you could shoot either one. Of course, there were no elk. I remember when we started seeing a few elk in the 80s. So I do want to say this has been a great opportunity for a lot of us to learn a lot about the elk. Right here is the landowner wildlife contingent. These people care more about the Black Hills and can contribute more to the encouragement of game management than I think about anybody else can. I think we need them on the team. So I also want to say I think the Game, Fish, and Parks, when you observe this, has done a great job. Their elk management plan is difficult. It's a science. It's an art. You know, the number's been to 12,000. They've been down, I guess, to 4,500 maybe. They've been trying to find balance between elk tolerance, elk landowner use. How can we make this work? Sportsmen, it's a tough gig. I was just adding it up. It looks like we have 16 to 17,000 applicants for 590 tags. It's a really tough gig. And it's a pleasure to have the opportunity to hunt elk in the Black Hills. And most people aren't ever going to get the opportunity because there's too many hunters and not enough elk. And we can't change that. So I am opposed to partition. You know, I went through it point by point with all you people. I don't need to do that again, and you've heard that all today. But you have brought these people together. I've got to sit down in a couple meetings. You've got some real passionate people, not just about landowner elk, but about their Black Hills, about taking care of the land, about conservation easements, about how do we retain this Black Hills as we know it today. I'm a passionate guy for the Black Hills. We have a very, very special part of the world here. We are so fortunate. Unfortunately, every valley you see generally is private. That's the Homestead Act, and that's the way it was. We're running out. I'm a developer, too. And development in the hills is really keen right now. People from everywhere want to live in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Peacefulness, nice people, calmness, not a lot of activity. It's really wonderful. We need to save it for what it is. So thank you, and I hope you guys will hear us out. I'm opposed.
Nathan Alexander.
My name is Nathan Alexander. We have a ranch about 15 miles west of Hill City. My family all can't be here today, but we have a tremendous amount of elk use on our properties all the time, year round. And I do oppose of this new agenda that's coming up, but it seems like every time I turn around, I see an elk hunter show up and ask us, where have you seen the elk, or what's going on, or where are they at? And I try to point them in the right direction, and a lot of times I go with them if they don't seem complimented to go find them at all. But and I enjoy seeing them get harvested and get their elk filled. But in the same respect that you got the elk coming on the property, they stick around those properties all the time. But to raise the amount of land for us landowners, that if that's our livelihood. Right now, in the middle of calving cows, I'm not there out there to see how many elk are on the property at all times. I know they're there. I see the tracks in the snow, repair the fences constantly, and I do oppose of this ordinance. Thank you.
Pat Coy.
Commissioners, I am kind of surprised all these ranchers can get together and agree on something. We have a ranch west of Hill City. We have a lot of elk, and the other night I was at a meeting, and they said, what's your point of view? And I said in the beginning, depredation. But in the end, I realized that I was sitting there looking at a plaque that I got from the GFP in 2004, and it said, Man of the Year Conservation. And you know, we're labor intense on trying to keep ahead of those elk. To raise that acreage would be ridiculous, where we have a lot of leased ground, owned ground. We run on Forest Service permits. I think we do more to help people be successful if anybody in this room has ever been to the Coy Ranch that ever went away without us helping them get an elk, we weren't home. So I think it's very important to realize that. And with the GFP, we always have that relationship with them. I mean, yeah, they'll give us the bull panel and the barbed wire and the post to put in a stackyard, but it's labor intense to set and pound 100 posts in the ground and stand it up and send a hired man to town to get the materials. So I think that's going to change that relationship because of the tolerance. It isn't any way that when a herd of elk goes through your cabin pasture and we have to stay out of the needles when we're calving in that last trimester for any rancher that's around here. And when those elk go through there in the middle of the night and you go out there and 2 days later you lose six calves because they got into the needles because those elk were hungry all winter, this winter especially, we had a lot of snow. So I guess my thing is, I'm not just a rancher. I love those elk. Mike Kenta, I called him and I said, we got too many elk. They're jumping in our stackyard this winter. And he said, do you want us to figure out a way to take out 20 head of those? I said, hell no. They got calves in them. It's about fairness, I think. It's about relationship. It's about saying to one another, these guys care, let's take care of them. I guarantee you take away that 17% of those tags in unit two, and we're going to be on your door. We're going to be saying, hey, you guys got to give us a state park fence or something, because we got to have those elk out of here. We're not getting anything back from you guys. Thanks.
Zane Brink.
Good Good afternoon. My name's Zane Brink. I reside here in Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm a lineman by trade, engineer by education, contractor by choice. And I say all that because until yesterday, I considered myself a landowner also. But apparently, with this petition, I'm not a true landowner. My wife and I own 2,300 acres in Fall River County, north of Edgemont, South Dakota. We also own about 70 head of cattle that we try to make profitable. We 70 head on 2,300 acres seems a little light, because that's, we also support about a 70 head elk herd. Now the days, the elk days that we see on our property, one guess, 7,000-10,000 days, I don't know. This year I had to buy $10,000 worth of hay because the 100 acres of alfalfa that I had, I couldn't harvest last year because of the late frost, and that 70 head of elk pretty much took care of the rest. So I got 2 points here. One, communication. I hear all this, landowner is important. I hear from the GFP, from the commissioner, and I heard nothing about this until yesterday. That's upsetting to me because everybody says landowners are important. Number two, I would urge you guys to unanimously deny this petition. It is not, there's so many holes in this thing as far as, you know, you even talk about discrimination about whether you choose to live someplace or not. And it's all about what you're able to do. I enjoy owning land. I enjoy raising cattle. That is not my primary business, but I do it because I enjoy it. And this petition would actually take away part of why I enjoy being a landowner. And I am a true landowner. Thank you.
Aaron Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Helper, as always, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. For the record, my name is Aaron Thompson. I represent the Spearfish Livestock Association. We are a group of landowners in the northern Black Hills who also have grazing permits on the Black Hills National Forest. Right up front, I need to state publicly that we are opposed to the petition as it stands. We feel that while there are good parts within the petition, 1,000 acres is a hurdle that a lot of my membership could not clear. Not everything in the proposal is bad. I think that a 60-mile or some distance requirement at being near the property that you own, that's a good thing. I will probably make a lot of enemies in the room today, but somebody needs to say this. We've heard from a lot of ranchers in the room today, agrarians, people that have cattle, run cattle for a living, that are putting their kids through college and funding their IRAs with livestock. Who we haven't heard as much from today are the people that own these properties as investments where they can get an elk tag off of them. We have a situation with the current status of how the landowner elk tags are allocated where a person can buy an elk tag. I don't believe that is the original intent of the landowner elk program. And I also don't think that serves the sportsmen of South Dakota. It is a difficult topic. I will agree to that. No matter what decision is ultimately made, there will be people that deserve a tag that do not get one, and there will be people that probably don't warrant a tag that will get them. That will happen no matter how you shape any rules that affect this. But going forward, I don't think it can be punted down the road any further that the landowner elk program is not functioning as it was initially intended. And in order to get it back on track, I think there needs to be a framework developed within the commission and the department. We need to, as the previous speaker pointed out, we need to define what it means to be a landowner. in the eyes of the department and in the sense of what it means to get a landowner tag. Who deserves those tags? Additionally, we need to define what the goals are for the landowner elk program. Is it a means to buy tolerance, or is it to compensate for elk damages? Are there other programs that do that better? Those are ultimately where we need to be on this. And ultimately, who is the department beholden to? Is it the responsibility of the department to act on the best interests of the sportsmen of South Dakota, the guys who couldn't take time off of work today to be here, the guys who have been putting in for 30 years and still haven't drawn an elk tag? Or is it beholden to the minority, the people who could afford to not be here today because they have back channels that can get it in just as well? Thank you.
Paula McInerney Hall.
Good afternoon. Thank you for giving us your time. I'm here today to represent my mother, Carol McInerney. She couldn't be here because of the roads. She has a ranching operation that's small in O'Neill Pass, and that's in an area that's about the highest snow load capacity in our state. So when we look at regulations that require living within a certain distance, I can tell you that, I'm not going to say my age, but in many, many decades, there isn't anyone for 20, 25 miles that is running a full-time ranching operation in areas that support some of your biggest areas of elk habitat. We close down in the fall. And we do that because we also want to support multiple use. And that includes a long-standing successful relationship with the snowmobile trail system. And that's another component of your department. And I want to compliment you because we've had excellent working relationships with your staff, from the trail system to the conservation officers. You've really put in the Northern Hills some really excellent people. But in the spring, when the snow melts, we're going to go back to fixing fence. And we're going to find lots of areas that are damaged by snowmobilers, but more that is damaged by elk. And no one supported elk habitat more than my father, Paul McInerney. We leave that ranch in the fall, and he specifically developed water so that there will be water available all year round for the wildlife. He invested in that, and we maintain it because that's important to us. The elk license, it's valuable and it's rare, and many people seek it in our state. But for the money that my family and our neighbors invest to repair damage from the elk and the feed we lose for our cattle, we could all go buy trophy hunts in New Mexico. We could. We don't do it because we want this valuable elk license. We do it because we want to be partners with the state and we want to support the wildlife habitat. And this elk license is really just an acknowledgement of that. It's a very important symbol. It's not about the money. It's about the symbol of our relationships. And I want you to know that that doesn't just impact wildlife. It impacts our trail system. It impacts all of the other interfaces we have with the public. And I would encourage you to reject these changes because my neighbors are satisfied with the structure as it is. The people we've heard from in this room are, by a vast majority, supporting it. Nothing in the proposal brought data to you or science. It came from a place where there's obviously different motivations. But your own conservation officers and your scientists didn't propose this. And it really has the potential to damage a lot of relationships that will impact sportsmen, not just landowners. And so I would encourage you to reject this proposal, please. Thank you.
Victor Alexander.
I'm Vic Alexander from Hill City. I really didn't necessarily have anything organized to talk about, only the whole bigger picture, and I think everybody's covering that ground. The one thing that I wanted to do is to, I know that it's been pointed out, this group over here and the group over here. I just wondered if I can take part of my time. Can everybody in the room that is against the proposed changes in the distribution of the elk tags and the landowner, the acreage requirements and that sort of thing, I'd just like everybody in the room that is opposed to that, please stand up. I think this is your contingent of people that really care about the Black Hills, that really care about the conservation in the Black Hills, really care about the elk herd. I think that this is, it's like, say, Paula said, that there is there's a lot of selfish things going on with the application or with the petition in the first place. And these are the guys, this is the people, this is the women, this is the people that make your elk herd what it is in the Black Hills. Thank you.
Travis Bees.
Thanks for your time, for letting us come up and speak, and all the time you folks put into wildlife and recreation for our state. Just want to make a few quick comments, because I mean, everybody's brought up so many good points here that how do you add to it? But my dad and I are probably the largest property owners in Central Black Hills Unit 2. We do a lot of conservation on our ranch to promote elk and wildlife. This proposal would not affect us, but we're against it. Because of the people here, they've been here in the hills. Their families have ranched and been here in our unit for a long time, from the Alexanders, Hobarts, Clintons. I mean, they're all neighbors that have been there for a long time. And not one of them, you heard from several of them, talk about the time they put in with your sportsmen to get the tags. I mean, from the time the tags are issued, we start getting phone calls for permission to hunt. And we all let a lot of people hunt. We all get phone calls. Oh, I shot an elk right at dark, but we can't find it. Who's out there helping them get their elk? We are. We put in a lot of time and a lot of expense helping sportsmen. So, you know, we do a lot of spring improvements, not only on private land, but on our Forest Service permits that help the wildlife out. I mean, that's a big expense. You know, it's just one big family here in South Dakota, and some of us get extra stuff, but we always help the other people prosper from what we're doing also. So I hope when you guys consider this, you say no. We're not for it. And if you do vote no and to leave it the same, which I hope you do, maybe this time you can say, okay guys, we approached this last year and we kept it. We're gonna keep it this year. Enough is enough. Let's say this is our policy. This is what our department's gonna uphold. Let's not be back here next year. Let's say, let's visit in maybe 10 years and see if the circumstances changed. And then come up. But let's not be back here next year with this crowd doing it next year again like we had the last 2 years. Let's put a time limit for reviewing this. Thanks.
Rick Solzer from Piedmont.
Almost made an entrance. Thank you for your time. Vic Alexander stole what I was going to do, have everybody stand. But I can only reiterate a lot of the positive comments made by all the landowners today. And I think bottom line is, you as commissioners just need to ask yourself, who's the most important partner do we have in hunting? It's the landowner. I disagree with the position. I think there are some things that might need to be redone and revisited. But like Travis said, you know, let's put it down the road. Let's visit about it. Let's talk about it. You've got a group here of people that have a lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding, and a lot of us have been here for 3 and 4 generations. I'm against the petition. Thank you for your time.
Either Ron, John, or Don Giese. John. Sorry, John.
Good afternoon. My name is John Giese. I live in the Pringle area. I am a landowner. I own 340 acres that I've rescued from development. I run Buffalo down there. I lease a few hundred more. I have spent a pretty fair amount of money developing water and pasture. I share that pasture with the elk, my buffalo, and I do not want to see this petition go any farther. Simple. The animals there were there before I was, and I like to see them there. That's all I got to say.
Ben Raver from Custer.
Good afternoon. My name is Benjamin Raver. I'm from north and west of Custer, South Dakota. I'm a fourth generation Raver to live on the land. My great-grandfather and grandfather and great-uncle, they homesteaded. Now, we have been stewards of the land and caretakers for as long as I can remember. My grandfather and my dad, they lived and they died caring about that land. Now, I disagree very much with this proposal. We have 380 acres, and we certainly have enough depredation, you know, to qualify. I'd just like to say, you know, thank you to hear me and know that I do stand against this. Thank you.
Joe Raver.